I want to explain something to y'all, something I've been going through. Can I share my heart with you tonight? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. You see, the week before, but this has been going on since then, there was a big heaviness in this room, a huge heaviness that never left. And when y'all left, it left with you. And that weighed on my heart. Because I'm going to be honest with you guys, I love you. I love you so much, and it doesn't even make sense to me why I love you that much, other than the fact that it's Jesus. But I carried that around with me, and I thought, what is going on? Man, I know a lot of you, after this service is over, you go back into a world that's just awful. You get bombarded with just filth every single day. You go into your school, you get bombarded with filth there. Drugs, all sorts of things. Things that I never even faced until I got into the last couple years of high school. It gets worse and worse every year. See, I felt this heaviness and I didn't know what it was. I played at this conference this last weekend with this band that I play with occasionally. It was this huge conference and it was for the Texas Louisiana Youth Ministry, the Latin District. Okay, so it was a bunch of Latinos. How many, we got any Latinos in here tonight? You're proud? Yeah, awesome. Yeah, man, I love the Texas Louisiana Latino District. Gotta tell you what, those guys are crazy, man. They love to worship God and it was awesome. I was jumping everywhere. I was sweating buckets. It was great. Everybody was praising God. There was about 2,000 young people crammed in this convention center. It was amazing. Amazing worship. But during the same service, I had the same heaviness. And I thought to myself, I've felt this before. I'm still feeling this. Why am I still feeling this? It was great worship, great breakthrough. It didn't make any sense. The speaker, halfway through, stopped. And he said, if there's anybody, he said, there's kids here. And you're thinking about killing yourself. You're struggling with heavy depression. Some of you don't even know why, but you want to kill yourself. If that's you, I want you to get to this altar. We're going to pray for you. We're going to break that. Well over 100 kids responded. Almost 200 kids in that place that were honest were contemplating killing themselves. That's crazy to me. Some of these kids, man, they have everything going for them. Why would they want to kill themselves? I got a truth for you tonight. The devil wants you dead. So many times we put the devil in this thing that, oh, well, he's really not going to mess with me unless I'm really doing some crazy stuff for God. No, the devil wants you dead no matter who you are, what you're doing. He wants you dead. He wants you dead and he wants your soul in hell so he can torment you forever. That's what he wants. He doesn't want to see you live for God. He doesn't want you to come to this church service. He definitely does not want you to hear what I'm telling you tonight. The title of my message tonight is called The Attack. See, the devil is, he's getting more intense on your generation. He's picking up the fight and bringing it to you harder than ever. And it seems like all we're doing is sleeping. All we're doing is sitting around and thinking, oh, my life's so bad. And he's killing you. And you don't even know it. Some of you carry these sins around like you're proud of them. It's killing you. And you don't even know it. Throw up Romans, Sydney. See, a lot of times at these services, and this is something I've been listening a lot to, several great speakers I've heard in the past couple weeks have been talking about this. Even our senior pastor here was talking about this last Sunday. And it's about how we are quick to give God our sins, but we don't give him our lives. You come up here and you give God your sin week after week after week, but you never surrender your life. So you go back living the same life and sin gets right back in and you're right back where you started and the devil's enjoying killing you. Tonight, you're going to have the opportunity to surrender your life along with your sin. I promise it's the best decision you'll ever make. See, he says he set us free for freedom. He liberates us from our sin, but if we don't surrender our lives to him, we are still slaves to our old life of sin that will eventually be the end of us. God sets you free for freedom because you were a slave and you weren't even aware of it. says, so now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Now, I want to point something out. The power of sin, that's all sin. It's not certain sins. It's not just this or that. Lying, little lies, big lies, drugs, premarital sex. All of that. It's all sin, and it all leads to death. You need Jesus. It says, and because you, the law of Moses was unable to save us, Ten Commandments, because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his son in body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. See, God paid your debt. He sent Christ. He paid your debt, so freedom's available to you. But you have to choose it. You have to want it. He's not going to force it on you. Keep going. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If you leave this place and all you're thinking about is the next girl you can get with or the next hit you can have, you're being controlled by your flesh. You're not following the Spirit. Look, I'm not here tonight to beat you over the head. I'm here because I am so hurt. Because you're hurting. Some of you aren't even aware of it. Some of you cry yourselves to sleep. You have no idea why. Some of you have been depressed for the past couple of months thinking about killing yourself. And you don't even know why, because you have a great life. Some of you don't. Some of you have every reason in the world to kill yourself. But God said, I've set you free for freedom. For freedom. Keep going. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. You can't live for God if you do not surrender your life to him. You can't live for God and have your sin too. It won't work. Keep going. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. It doesn't say they might be able to please God. They might be able to sin every once in a while and it's okay. They might have this lifestyle and I'll just overlook it. No, it says sinful nature can never please God. See, I went to pray for this guy one time. His name is Noel. I didn't even want to go. I didn't really know what was going on. This lady from our church was telling me, hey, could you come pray, please? Nobody wanted to really go with me. David and his wife ended up going. She was like 7 months pregnant, 8 months pregnant, about ready to pop. And we go into this hospital, right? And there's this big, big, big guy laid up in this bed. I didn't really know what was going on. Right before I got there, she texted me, said, I'm pretty sure he might be demon-possessed. So there's a demon involved here. So Satan has such a control over his life. You can literally see him speaking into his life and destroying it right in front of your eyes. See, there was nothing wrong with this guy. He had a minor stroke, but he was recovering fine. He was going to be fine, but he had no will to live. He was ready to die because he was convinced God could never forgive him because he was this awful person. The devil had literally just swallowed up his mind whole and was feeding him those lies. So right when I walked in the door, you know what I prayed? I said, God, let your love walk in with me. You walk into this room, not me. I have never encountered anything like this before in my life, guys. I mean, I've seen, you know, how many of you seen maybe The Exorcist or something crazy like that? I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? You know, like I'm going to go in and this guy's going to like just roar at me. Ah! And I'm kind of scared. So I said, God, you got this, not me. Because I definitely can't do this. I'm kind of freaking out. So I walk in and all these people are trying to pray for him. They're holding him down and stuff. And they're praying for him. They're just hollering and praying and hollering and praying. And right when I walked in, God said, just love him. Just love him. I thought, okay, God. So I walk in and right when I did, it was the scariest thing. I wish I could have filmed it. He's laying in his bed. Right when I walked in, he leans up and he stares right at me. I had just walked in and I'm thinking, oh God, here we go. So I walk in and I smile at him. And I sat there and I just stood there for a second while they were still praying for him. And I just looked at him and smiled at him and he stared right at me. He just kept looking. And it was like there was this anger that was moving towards me. And it was the devil. He did not want me in that room. So I walk up to him And I said, hey, man, what's your name? He said, Noel. He was real tired. He'd been up for almost a week, hadn't slept at all. He shook my hand. I said, man, God sent me here to tell you he loves you and you are redeemed. He wants to redeem you today. And he looked at me and he said, no, I can't. He said, yeah, like, okay, that's great. And then all of a sudden it was like a whole different person swooped over him. He said, no, that can't happen. I've done too much. It was like talking to two different people. I was like, no way. And I said, you know what, man, I'm going to pray with you. So we started praying, man. He started tensing up. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this guy's about to throw me through the window. He didn't. He kind of calmed down. It was back and forth, same thing, me telling him, God can forgive him. It doesn't matter. God is here to forgive him. And it kept saying the same thing. He started to accept it, but then devil right back in. It was like I literally could see the devil speaking lies into his ear. It was the weirdest, craziest thing ever. See, the devil will lie to you. And lie to you and lie to you until you're at that place where you're ready to give up completely and you just want to die. You know why? Because as soon as you do, he wins. That's what he wants. This isn't a cakewalk. Paul calls this walk of faith a fight. It's a fight. There's nothing sissy about it. It's a fight every day. You have to get up, crucify your flesh every day. Your desires, the things you want to do, you crucify that. You pick up your cross and you follow him. That's the only way you're going to make it. So Noel is sitting there, and after back and forth, me praying, all of a sudden he stops and he looks at me. And I didn't say a word. And he goes, what did you say? I'm kind of looking around like I'm really calm and smiling, but this is what was happening. I'm giving you the details of what was happening on the inside. He goes, what did you say? And I'm like, dude. What are you talking about? I didn't say anything. And he started saying all this horrible things that I said about him. I said, no, man. I didn't say that at all. And all his family around, they said, he didn't say that. He's here to help you. The devil was literally lying to him. He said, what did you say? And then he looked at me, the most angry look I've ever received in my life. And that is when I got the picture pretty clear. Because I might have been like you at that point and thought, well, yeah, the devil doesn't like me. But he doesn't really have me specifically targeted. At that moment, I knew the devil wanted me dead, and he did not want me in there praying for this kid. He was so mad at me. I felt the heat of the anger coming from him. So again, I greeted it with love, and in Jesus' name, we started praying again. He passes out, okay? He passes out completely. And I told his mom, I said, call me when he wakes up, when he gets a little rest. I want to come back and pray again. The next time she called me, she sent me a text message the next day, and said, I'm at home with Noel right now. He's completely delivered. He's completely healed. And he has there's no more lying going on in his mind. He has reaccepted Christ and he's living for the Lord. And I just thought, wow, yes, amen for God, right? Amen. Yeah. See, that wasn't me. I was just a vessel. God did all of that. I was scared. This guy could have snapped me in half. Goodbye. Use me as a mop or something. And I'm freaking out. But see, it was literally seeing the devil lying to him right there, condemning him. You're done. Some of you in here, you feel condemned. You're like, I've done way too much. There's no way. God's here tonight saying, I'm ready to redeem you. I'm ready. And I'm willing. See, we lose this joy somewhere along the way. When you receive your salvation, you have this joy. See, God wants to give you a joy tonight. We're not talking about happiness. We're talking about when you feel happy and you're smiling and ponies and pretty stuff. Things happening. Mom just made awesome cookies. Woo! We're happy. No. Because you know why? You know what God's not saying? I want to give you happiness. Because your happiness comes and goes like that. All of a sudden you have this nice new car and then you slam it into a brick wall and it's completely totaled. You probably aren't very happy that day. And I don't blame you. I wouldn't think you'd get out of the car and go, man, yeah, that was awesome. The car's ruined. Oh, well. No, but God wants to give you a joy that can never be taken away. But he says it's for yours for the taking. It says, take joy in me. It didn't say just, it happens. It said, take it. Take joy in me. So when things are going so bad in your life and everything seems to be falling around, you can say, you know what, God? I'm saved. I'm with you. I love you. I have a relationship with you. You've got my back. It looks bad right now, but I'm going to take joy in my salvation and knowing that this isn't the end. What's awesome to me is for Christians, death is victory. Some people are so scared of dying. They're so scared. What happens if some people just close themselves in their houses and won't do anything and try and wear the mask because they're so scared of germs. But I'm just like, look, God's got it under control. And if it's my time, I win. I win. I'm not scared. I'm not scared. Because I get to go home and be with the person that I'm obsessed with on this earth. If you can't say the same, it's time to start looking at some sayings. Let's look at this. Throw up Psalms. David wrote this after he royally screwed up. His sins were killing him, and it was pointed out to him by a prophet. And he wrote this. He said, purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. See, tonight, some of you need to be broken over your sins. It's okay to feel like, man, those were bad, and let God break you. And you weep to God and you say, God, have it. I'm done with it. And then once that happens, you can say, God, now let me rejoice because I have the joy of salvation in me now. And I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. I'm not just going to sit here and, but I'm going to take the joy of your salvations. He says, don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me to stay committed to you. Do not banish me from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Here we go. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. That's what David lost. Restore to me the joy. I lost it. I lost it a long time ago and I started filling it with other things. When you lose your joy of your salvation, when you don't have the joy of God, you try and fill it with everything you can possibly get your hands on. And yeah, it might work for a little while, but then you're miserable. And then you're miserable again, and you're continually to be miserable, and you just think, oh, what's happening? I just need this. Or if I just found the right guy, or if I just found the right girl, or if I just had the best computer, or if I just had all the Pokemon cards in the world, or if I just had every musical instrument ever made, I would be happy. You won't be until you have the joy of the salvation of Jesus Christ. Then you stop buying all these things. Then you stop doing all this stuff because you don't need it. Because that hole has been filled. See, I've looked up things about teen suicide, and I know the rates are really high. I know they're the highest they've ever been, but I really didn't do much studying on it. But I read this out. I just want to read this to you, just so you know how serious this is, how serious the devil wants to kill you. It says, teen suicide rate saw the highest increase in 2003. How many of you were born around 2003? Anybody in this room? 2003, maybe 2000, you were born. 1999, anybody in here? Sammy, you're with me, buddy. Okay. Oh, no, you're before me. Woo. Okay. So do you realize that the suicide rate, I read this, I never knew this before, it jumped higher than it's ever been, higher than they've ever seen in the past 15 years in 1 year. It jumped. And it started including 10 and 14-year-olds when they didn't even have enough percentage to even be on the map. All of a sudden, they're killing themselves. Look, here's the deal, guys. We're in the last days. Take it or leave it. I don't care. But a big sign to you should be that Hostess is out of business. I'm just kidding. But seriously, that's crazy. But honestly, we're in the last days. You look around, everything is falling apart. I'm not even talking about political stuff or any of that. It's all falling apart. People are saying, oh, the economy, it's doing great, it's fine. No, it's not. Guys, it's failing. That's the truth. America is going down. They need Jesus. It's getting worse. And the devil realizes that there is a generation in this house tonight. You, all over this place, all of you. Your generation, if you were to rise up and be the generation, the sons of God that the earth is waiting for, you would rock this world in a way it's never seen. There's a great revival coming, and you're the ones to bring it. But you got to stop playing around. You got to stop parading your sin around and thinking, well, it's going to be all right. I'll be fine if I just get this, this, and this. But surrender your life to God. The devil wants you dead. It's even in the statistics. He started killing at an even earlier age, 10 to 14. You've seen nothing but all these teen suicides and it being posted on the line that they wrote their suicide note on YouTube. It's crazy. Just listen to this. It says every year there are approximately 10 youth suicides for every 100,000 youth. So you take 100,000 of you guys and 10 of them are going to commit suicide. says every day there are approximately 11 youth suicides. Every day, 11 of your fellow brothers and sisters in your generation are being killed by the devil. You say, well, they killed themselves. No, their sin killed them, which the devil was glad to do. He wants you dead, guys. It's serious. I don't know how to make it more plain to you. Keep smoking the weed. Keep having sex. Keep doing all these things, whatever, but it's going to sneak up on you, and you're going to die. You might think, oh, that's a little extreme. Yeah, it's extreme. It's the truth. Sin kills you. Unrepented sin, sin in your life that controls you. You don't live by the Spirit, you live by your flesh, and you're dying. You're miserable, and you don't even know why. You're missing it. You're missing the joy of God's salvation. Suicide, okay, look, every 2 hours and 11 minutes, a person under the age of 25 completes, means they actually get all the way through it and kill themselves. Suicide, every 2 hours and 11 minutes. Means after the service is over, somebody committed suicide somewhere. Suicide is the third leading cause of death for teens. Suicide is the second leading cause for death in colleges. For every suicide completion, there are between 50 and 200 attempts. That's outrageous. For every suicide, let's see, CDC Youth Risk Survey. This is secular statistics. This isn't off a Christian website. It says 8.5% of students in grades 9 through 12 reported a suicide attempt in the past year. So 8% of the entire youth population tried to commit suicide. 25% of high school students report suicide ideation. It means they think about it. They think about it. I just want to die. When you start going there, man, the devil jumps on like that. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. You should. Nobody appreciates you. Nobody would even know you're gone. Just do it. Just do it. It'll ease your pain. It's a lie. Because the devil knows your generation could be so powerful in God, it would just be ridiculous. You could put him down and keep him down, and you could win this entire world for Christ. But instead, we get so caught up in our own lives and our own stuff and carrying our sin around. Oh, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. I'll make it right later. Guess what? There's not much time to make it right. Later is slowly growing much shorter. There isn't much more time. God needs his people to rise up. While a single suicide is a tragedy, it is estimated that for every adolescent who completes suicide, there are between 50 and 200 suicide attempts from the suicide. A recent survey of high school students found that almost 1 in 5 had seriously considered suicide, more than 1 in 6 had made plans to attempt suicide, and more than 1 in 12 had made a suicide attempt in the past year. Guys, this is serious. I even read a stat. I read a stat because in our human minds, we think, well, if I just get this or I just get that. I actually read a stat that said one of the highest among teens committing suicide. This is a secular stat. It has nothing to do with the church at all. The highest percentage of teens that are committing suicide were homosexuals. And they even said, what's crazy about that is it wasn't because they were being picked on. It wasn't because they weren't getting what they wanted. It's because they got what they wanted. And it wasn't enough. And they killed themselves because they were miserable, because they don't have God. Just like when you lie and you lie and you lie and you lie and you don't even know the truth anymore and it all falls on you and you want to kill yourself. Same thing. Sin is sin. And it's killing us. Everybody bow your head all over this place. I know this wasn't the most fun thing in the world. I know you're probably thinking like, man, what in the world? Tonight, though, I know with the fact, there are kids in here tonight that contemplate suicide every night. I know because I feel the heaviness. I feel the hurt and I feel the pain that's in this room. Several of you have severe depression and some of you don't even know why. And I'm telling you why. The devil wants you dead. It's time to set down your sin and it's time to surrender your life to God and stop playing games. This world is waiting for the sons of God, for the sons and daughters of God to arise and point them to the light. People say, oh, well, I'm happy without God. No, they're not. They're killing themselves. So tonight, We're not going to play around. I could care less if you're embarrassed or not. If you want to get rid of this depression, if you want to get rid of these suicide thoughts in your head, I want you to meet me right up here because we're going to pray together. This is between you and God. You say, you know what? I'm tired of feeling this way. I'm tired of the weight of this depression. It's time for it to go. We're serving it notice. I'll wait. Actually, if you could, make a line. Make a line. Leaders, if I get all my leaders back there that are free, I need you to come up here. We're going to wait. I just want you guys to start praying. Just start praying. Start inviting God into your lives. Just start praying. Just start praying. Don't touch them yet, leaders. We're still waiting. You say, I've had depression. I haven't fully surrendered my life to God, and I want to surrender my life to God. I'm ready. We're going to wait. I'm not giving up without a fight. I love you guys way too much.